This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. 3 years ago, a Kentucky writer named Robert Guype debuted his first novel, Trampoline, about a young girl growing up in Appalachia. Authors and literary fans across the region hailed it as one of the most important books to come out of our region in recent years. But the topics Guype writes about aren't easy. A parent's drug addiction and the environmental wreckage left behind by strip mining. Now, the main character, Dawn Jewel, is back in Guype's second novel, a sequel called Weed Eater, which is also the name of one of the main characters. As he told Roxy Todd, many of the ideas for both the book and the character Weed Eater came from real life.
I'm not really sure why I put him in there, to tell you the truth, but he just ended up in there. It was based on somebody I knew and was clear and that I liked. I was also interested in a potentially threatening male character who was actually trying to be a decent person. You know, I thought that would be an interesting kind of counter stereotype.
And for those that haven't read Weed Eater, in that first book, Dawn was still a teenager. The opioid epidemic was just kind of starting to emerge. Maybe, I think you said it was like around 1999 or 2000 where you're imagining that first book took place. And now, you know, fast forward a few years, you can really see in the second book, the opioid epidemic has caused widespread havoc on her community, on her family. Talk a little bit about what's happened to Dawn in the past few years between the first and second book.
You know, Dawn has kind of drifted into marriage and motherhood, and she's not quite convinced it's either one is for her. You know, if the first book is about how she's trying to find herself buffeted between two strong females, each of which has their own things on their mind that aren't her. In the first book, it's her mother who's got substance abuse issues and her grandmother who's an environmental activist. In this book, she's much more kind of on her own and has the independence that maybe she thought she needed in the first book. And it's very complicated to be kind of out there figuring it out by yourself. And, you know, like many people, she's kind of got a family and she's not sure she was ready for it. And so she's navigating through all that and still having to take care of her mother.
Yeah, in this book, we kind of see that as much as she tries to get away from the problems back home in Kentucky and her mother's problems, they kind of pull her back into their chaos. Why do you think it's important for us to read these kinds of books to really get inside someone's life? This is some real stuff that's happening. It's kind of dark and it's not a rosy life for Dawn. Why do you think it's important for people to kind of, I guess, empathize with what's going on for someone like Dawn?
I think people that don't live in constant crisis, you know, they deal with crisis as something that, you know, the day before you had a good night's sleep and you resolve the crisis and then, you know, your life is less crisis-filled the next day. I think that one of the things that helped me understand people's decision-making process here is that it's just perpetual crisis.
Do you think this is the book about somebody who's hopeless? Do you think there is hope for Dawn Jewel?
I think if she didn't have hope somewhere in her, she'd have been gone by the middle of the first book. You know, I think that her hope is in many ways, although it doesn't always get articulated, that it's there, you know, that in some way she has the most irrational of hopes and the most kind of strong of senses of hope, that she's just kind of soldiering on. And I think the thing is that, you know, that in the end they can't hope alone. You got to have somebody to hope with. Somebody's got to reinforce that hope. And so I think that's all operative in the books, you know, that they're kind of meditations on this American idea of, you know, the individual hero that can handle everything And then this, the more realistic idea that, you know, we have to have a team, we have to have a support community. I think to answer your question that she must have hope, or she'd have already been incinerated by this life of hers.
And I don't want to give away too much of what happens in this book, but it's not all bleak. And there's another scene which I love. It's the scene where everybody goes to Dollywood, and you get this sense that for just a few hours or part of a day, everybody in the book suspends all the problems and tension that they've got going on in their lives. Can you read a little bit from that section?
Dollywood is a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal everywhere, but it's a big deal where we live here. There are all kinds of stories about coal miners coming home, putting their spare change in a jar, and then when summertime comes around, you take that money, and that's your Dollywood money, and people going in groups, and coal companies, you know, giving away tickets to all their workers. And so it's difficult to underestimate the importance of Dollywood in the community. So in Weed Eater, Hubert, as is his lifestyle, ends up with a bunch of money that he has to get rid of. He needs to get shed of it. And so he decides to take everybody that wants to go in Kennard County to Dollywood. And so, of course, the day gets sullied for Dawn, but there is a moment of happiness, and here's some of that. When we finally got to Dollywood, people were pouring across the parking lot, kids excited, old people on the shuttle buses smiling and pressing their teeth back in place. When we got to where you go through the gate, there were groups from other places dumping out of their tour buses, all wearing the same color T-shirts, listening to people tell them when and where they needed to be back. The Kennard people all went tear-assing up to the gate, where Hubert stood with a fistful of tickets, thick as a brick, handing them out to everybody who stuck their hand out for one. And soon as we got in, Willett started telling me stories on all the Dolly Parton songs playing over the loudspeakers. At the museum, we saw the rag coat Dolly had when she was little, her coat of many colors. And we saw her report cards, and all that kind of went over Nicolette's head, but she loved the birds, the big bald eagle, Sanctuary. And while we were standing there looking at the eagles, Decent come up eating a turkey leg and told us how her sister got proposed to right on the spot where we were standing. And then June told us about a girl she knew in school who got proposed to on the Ferris wheel in the carnival part of Dollywood.
So it's like this almost hyper-real, I don't know, scene where everything is glorious for a few hours. I love it.
It's easy to write books about hard places and for them just to be very gray and not have a place in them for, you know, those vivid, happy, colorful moments. And I think, but you know, one of the things that in terms of living in this world is that the ability to savor, you know, to enter into fully the happiness of something good happening is pretty well developed in people. And it's a part of it. You know, that's a part of surviving.
Well, Robert, your second book was definitely well worth the wait. And I look forward to your third in maybe a couple of years. Always great talking with you.
Yeah, same to you, Roxy. Thanks for having me on.
That was writer Robert Guype speaking with Inside Appalachia producer Roxy Todd about his newest illustrated novel called Weed Eater. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.